Today, Shem Sechla Bakama Daf Yud Dalid. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. 7 lines from the bottom, Amamar. Our Gemara at the end of our previous year, had taught us a Braisa, and now the Gemara begins to analyze that Braisa. Amamar, we learned in the Braisa, Kishchizik Chava Mazik. The Locha is when there was damage, the mazik is obligated. What do we learn from these words? Says the Gemara, Lahavi, it comes to teach us Shemichinav Ashoil, the various Shemrim that the Torah HaKadosh speaks about, the Shemichinav Ashoil, the Noisisachav Asoicher. Shemichinav is somebody who is not getting paid to watch somebody else's object. Ashoil is somebody who borrows somebody else's object. Noisisachar is somebody who's getting paid. Vasoicha is somebody who rented somebody else's object, that the animal did damage when they were in their possession. Ask the Gemara Hechidami exactly what is the case. Ilema, if we will suggest that's referring to a situation, the Aske Tur the Mashal, the Tur the Mashal, that the Bryce is speaking of a case in which the lender's axe damaged the borrower's axe, and the Bryce is teaching us that the lender must pay the borrower for the damage, says the Gemara, that can't be. Why should the lender be held liable? Lemele, let the lender say to the borrower, Ila Azak Ba'alma, if my axe had damaged somebody else while in your care, Bois L'Shlemiyat, you the borrower is the one that's obligated to take on the responsibility, and especially since we're speaking about a shoyl has to take on all types of responsibility. So hashta naskel adar the doch. If my axe damaged your axe, bonus shlumei, should I have to pay for it? Says the Gemara, the case must be referring to a situation. Alaska the tour the shoyl or tour the mashal. Speaking in case where the borrower's axe damaged the lender's axe. So ask the Gemara, under these situations, why can't the lender say to the borrower, if my animal had been damaged by an axe while it was under your care, you would have to pay the entire amount. So if the borrowed animal was killed by somebody else's tam, then you only have to pay chatzi mezek. And what would be the halacha? The halacha is that the shoyl would have to make up the difference. So, boys, the shlumei kol turah. Under all circumstances, you have to take on the full responsibility. So, certainly, hashka the aske toward the dach. Not it was your animal that damaged my animal. Palganeska the mesham slay. Do you want to think that it'll be enough that you should pay chatzi nezek? Of course, you're going to have to pay. A Nezek Shalom. Says the Gemara, we have to say that the Brice is referring to a situation that Aske toward the Mashal or toward the Shoyl. The lender's axe did damage to the borrower's axe. Vachem Maiskinen. But, says the Gemara, the Brice is speaking about a very unique situation. Shekibol of Shmir Skufoi, where the Shoyl, the borrower, accepted upon himself of the responsibility of guarding the axe, that it shouldn't get damaged. However, like Kibbalah, he didn't accept upon himself Shmiras Nezakov, that he didn't take upon himself the obligation if it will do damage. And the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara, the Shomer, the Shoyl in our Gemara, has to take on, under normal circumstances, when he takes on the responsibility of being a shoyl, he takes on full responsibility. Here we're speaking about where he explicitly took on upon himself that he's not accepting any damage that this axe does. So, as the Rosh explains, normally it's included. But here, because he said differently, therefore he's not responsible. So now that axe did damage to the borrower's axe, the owner of the axe has to pay like any other time when one axe does damage to the other axe. If it's a tam, it has to pay chetzi nezek, and if it's a mu'ud, it has to pay nezek shalom. Says the Gemara, ihachi, if that's the way we're going to explain this braisa, says the Gemara, Emes Sefer, let's continue learning the braisa. Nifritza belayla, if the fence was broken by night, oisha petzul list them, or bandits list them, broke into it, v'yotzer azika, and it went out and did damage, potter, the shomer, will not be obligated to pay for that damage. What is the indication? That the shomer is potter because it happened in a way that he can't be held responsible. He had no way of knowing that this happened or this was going to happen. And even though we just said that normally a shoil is chayiv even for an oinus, we're going to have to learn, explained the Rishonim, many Rishonim at least, that Tosfos, that this is a case of an oinus gomer. This is so out of his control to what happened, that since it's so out of his control, he won't be held responsible. So again, the Braisa said, Nifritza Belayla, if the wall fell down at night, Osher Betzul Listen was broken down by Listen, the Yotzev Azika, and it went out and did damage, that's when the Shomer will be potter from paying. What is the indication? Habiyoyim, if it would have happened by day, where he should be aware of what happened, then he would be Chayiv. But ask the Gemara, haven't we just explained that the Braisa is speaking about a situation with like Kibol of Shmir Nezakov, that he expressly said, the way we just learned, that he's not going to be held responsible for any damage that this animal does. So he's not going to be held responsible for any damage that this animal does. Why in this case will he be held responsible even if it did it in a time when he should have known? Answers Numar Hakikomer. The way to understand the Braisa is the Braisa saying as follows. Im Kibolov, if he did take upon himself the obligation to watch the animal, Im Kibolov Shmiris Nazakov, Chayiv, he'll be Chayiv for damage that animal does, but when that's only if it does it under normal situation. But if Nifritza Belayla, if the wall was fall down by night, was collapsed by that Petzul Listim, the Yotzev Azika, then he'll be potter because he can't be held responsible. Ask the Gemara, Eini, the Gemara, the Braisa says, and the Rebbe Lozer said, that there is no obligation for Shein V'Regel if the damage was done in a Chotzer that's owned by both of them. Ask the Gemara, Eini, is that indeed the case? Ask the Gemara, Vatani, have we not learned in a Braisa? Rabbi Yosef teaches us in a Braisa that Chotzer HaShotvim, if it's a Chotzer that's owned by both the Shotvim, the Nazik and the Nizik, the Pundik, a place which is a hotel, a public place, Chayibon, then there is an obligation on Niske Shein V'Regel, and they're not considered like Rishus Rabim. Yes, the Gemara is saying, in a Rishus Rabim, there is no obligation for Shein V'Regel. But this Braisa clearly indicates that in a place which is a public place or a Shutzen place, there is an obligation for Shein V'Regel. Tioftad Rebbe Lozer, isn't Rebbe Lozer clearly refuted from the halacha based on the halacha that we just learned, answers the Gemara, Amalach Rebbe Lozer, says the Rebbe Lozer, the Tisbara Mesnissim Eloi Pligi, can't you say that there's clearly a machloikis in the Braisa? Because there's another Braisa, Latanya, says the Gemara, there's a Braisa that teaches us, Abba Klolus, how Rebbe Shimon Elozer, I'm Ibn Nezakin. Rebbe Shimon Elozer taught us four rules regarding different areas, and what will be the halacha when damage was done in those areas. Kosher Rishus L'Nizik. If it's a place where the Nizik may be there, V'loy L'Mazik, but the Mazik may not be there, Chai B'Kol. The halacha is that the Mazik will be obligated to pay for everything. And what that includes actually is that even if it's the animal's a tam and it's a situation of keren, which normally we keep on learning in our shiurim, that an animal which is a tam and does keren pays chatzi nezik, if it's the rishus hanizik, if it's the sole rishus of the nizik, even a tam who did keren would pay nezik shalim. If it's an area which is the mazik v'loyla nizik, that belongs to the mazik and not to the nizik, and the mazik's animal did damage in such a place, then the halacha is potter, we call. The mazik is completely potter. Lezeh, lezeh. Now we get to the third case. Kegoin, chotzer ashutfim, an area that, a chotzer that's owned by the mazik and the nizik. Fabika, a place where animals are brought to pasture. Potter bala shein vel regel. There's no obligation for shein regel. Ala gicha, val negifa. The gicha is with goring with its horn. The gifa is hitting, pushing with the body of the animal. Neshicha, biting. Revitza, it sits squatting. Valbita, it's also a type of hitting the one animal hitting the other. In these cases, tam mishalm chatzin nezek, tam pays chatzin nezek, mu mishalm nezek shalim. If it's an area, loy lezeh v'loy lezeh, a place that doesn't belong to either of them, and Mar is going to explain everything, obviously, k'goin chotzer she'eino shel shneim, an area that doesn't belong to either of them, chay ba'al ha'shein v'al ha'regel, there is an obligation of shein ha'regel, however, al negich v'al neshich v'al negif v'al ritz v'al bita, tam mishalm chatzin nezek, the tam pays chatzin nezek, the mu'ud mishalim nezek shalim, and the mu'ud pays nezek shalim. So now the Gemara tells us what Rabbi Elazar tries to teach us from this Braisa. But what has the Braisa taught us? That Chotzer HaShutfim, that a place that belongs to the Mazik and the Nizik, Pot Vabika, or similarly a public area, Pot Al Shein Vala Regal. So isn't this clearly an indication that by Chotzer HaShutfim there's no Shein Regal? So yes, we began with quoting a Braisa of Rabbi Yosef, who says that by chotzer shutfim yechayiv al shein v'regel, but says Rabbi Elazar, I have a brisa that supports my opinion. But ask the Gemara, kashya hadadi, but isn't this, don't these two brises represent a question? So the way Rashi explains the Gemara is that Rabbi Elazar is clearly indicating that these two brises are disagreeing. And Rabbi Elazar says, I hold like the Braisa that says that you potter by Chotzer Shutfim. Rabbi Yosef holds like the opinion that says that you chai by Chotzer Shutfim. But the Gemara's now question is, must we say, the Gemara's implicit question is, must we say that these two Braises are arguing, or is there a way to reconcile these two Braises? The Ravid has a different approach. The Ravid's approach is that at the beginning, Rabbi Elazar, faced with the question that we asked from Rabbi Yosef, sought out this Braisa to support his opinion. But now, what Rabbi Elazar is trying to do is he's trying to say that I don't have to hold that these two Braises are arguing. I could actually say that these two Braises are not arguing. I could actually say that these two Braises are not arguing, and that, in my opinion, could stand correct. Because says the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar is going to say, Ki Tanya Hi, the Braisa that says that Shein V'Regel are part of a Chotzer Shotim, is talking about a Chotzer, Yechadis Lezeh Lezeh, that this is an area that both the Mazik and Nizik, Bein L'Peiris, Bein L'Shvarim, could both bring in their animals and their fruit. And therefore, in such a case, the halacha will be, since they could completely occupy this area, it's the same as Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And the halacha by Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is that Shein and regular potter Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and Karen is chayv in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. He, the Rabbi Yosef, and the Braisa, the Rabbi Yosef is quoted, is talking about a mechotzer miyuchedes l'peiris, v'enem miyuchedes l'shvarim. Both of them could bring fruit in there, but only one of them could bring shvarim there. The legabe shein havelik chatz anizik. Since he was allowed to bring his fruit there, and the mazik wasn't allowed to bring his fruit, and the mazik wasn't allowed to bring his animal there. That's why, since the mazik wasn't allowed to bring his mazik, his animal there, so it's like the rishus hanizik, and that's why he's obligated in shein v'regel. Deikanami, it says the Gemara, now that we've come up with a way in differentiating between these two types of chotzer ashutin, deikanami diktani hacha, in the brisa that Rabbi Yosef quoted that says yechayiv shein v'regel, so he spoke about two examples. One was a chotzer ashutfim, and one was a pundik. Pundik, we said, like is like a hotel. So we say it must be the chotzer shutfim is why did the brisa group them together to teach us that the chotzer shutfim is dumya the pundik, is similar to the case of a pundik. Just like in a pundik, they bring your fruit there, you bring your material there, your schayr there, you don't bring your animal. Says the Gemara, and on the other hand, Tani Hassam, in the Briser of Shimon Belazar, that says that you're not going to be chayv for Shagar Rogel, as Dumbia the Bika. A Bika is a place where everybody used to bring the animals. Shmaminos, we have a very clear understanding of the difference of the two Brises. The Briser that says Yechayv for Shem Varegel is talking about a place where they only have the right to bring Paris, and not necessarily the Mazak had no right to bring his animal there. Since he had then no right to bring his animal, he shall be held responsible. In the other case, he had a right to bring his animal. Since he had a right, since he had the right to bring his animal over there, that's why in such a case he will. Since he had the right to bring his animal there, he will not be held responsible. And we have a very successful way of reconciling the two brises. Maska lo Rav Zeira, ask the Gemara. So now that we're saying that if you have a chotzer, that both could bring peiros, that both could bring peiros to the chotzer, both the mazik and the nizik, like the pundit, but they can't bring the animals, only the nizik may bring his animal. Says, ask the Gemara, Maska lo Rav Zeira. So Rav Zeira asks, Kivin the Mechedes LePeiros, once both of them could bring their Peiros there, Habinon, the Torah, when it speaks about the obligation by Shein V'Regel, the words that the Torah Kedosha uses are Bia B'Stei Acher. And this is not a Stei Acher, because V'Leka, because this is an area where the Mazik does have use. Amal Abaya, to which Abaya responds, Kivin the Eina Mechedes LeShvarim, even though the mazik has a right to bring peiros there, but he doesn't have a right to bring shvarim there, soda achak rinabe. It's enough that it should be considered a steyacher. And Rabbi Chanan Zatzal in the Kovetz Biurim explains what is the machloikus between Abaya and Reb Zeira. The question is how to define the Torah says ubier. How do we understand the word bier? Is it referring to the mazik, or is it referring to the thing that's getting damaged? Rav Zeira's opinion is that the thing that's getting damaged, and since this is a place that both could bring their peiros, so therefore it's already not a steyacher, because the thing that got damaged wasn't a steyacher. It's not a field that the mazik has no right to be in, because the mazik has a right to be in there. Abaya says we look on the mazik, and the mazik, the shor, had no right to be in there. And since the mazik had no right to be in that field, it's already in the category of Bia B'Stei Acher. Do we say that the mazik, since he was allowed to be there, it's already, even albeit only for Paris, it's enough that it shouldn't be considered Steyacher, or as we look at each thing individual. The Rabbi Leib Malin, explains the Gemara somewhat differently. He says that the definition of Bia B'Steyacher, it has to be a place that belongs to the Nizik and not to the Mazik. The question here is, what is enough that it should not be considered Miuchedes L'Nizik? According to Reb Zeira, as long as he has a right to be there, in any way, it's not Steyacher. And Rabbi says that that's not the way to look at it. Just because I have a right to be there for Paris doesn't mean that it's no longer considered a Steyacher. Amlei Rav Achmed Diftel Ravina, Lema, now that we've successfully been able to reconcile the two brises that we just learned, because we've explained the two types of chotzer shutfim. One is where it's a complete chotzer shutfim. When it's a complete chotzer shutfim, there is no shein of regel. Versus when it's a different type of chotzer shutfim, they both could put peiris and not put their shorim. So now, what do we may be able to say that meroyim nami lo plig, that the meroyim are also not arguing and they could be reconciled? Indeed, that's a very legitimate way to do it, and we, Baruch Hashem, wouldn't have a machlokes. Says the Gemara, Vim Tim Tzolam Epligi, but Ravina says, even if it will say that they're arguing, the way we'll be able to say what they're arguing is how to explain the Kusha Derab Zera Priyog Derabai Epligi. They're arguing the same machlokes Derab Zera and Abaya just had. And Rabbi Chanan very much says, as we just learned, what is there going to be the machlokes? The machlokes is going to be how to understand the part, as we just learned, the two different pshatim, in fact, how to understand the words of Bia B'Steyacher. Gufa, says the Gemara, we quoted the Braisa, that the Braisa said, Abba Klolos HaRib Shim Ben Lazar Oimer Ben Nezakin, Kol Shu Rishus L'Nizik V'Loy L'Mazik, if it's an area that only the Nizik may be there, not the Mazik, Chai B'Kol. Says the Gemara, when it says ala kol loik tani, that means that you chai by all types of nezikin, el chai b'kol. What is it coming to teach us? B'kol ein nezik. That it's coming to teach us that even though, as we learned, a tam that does keren normally only pays chatzi nezik, here this price is teaching us that if a tam did keren, if the tam belonging to the mazik did keren in the property of the nizik, he'll be chayiv nizik shalom. Mani, says the Gemara, whose opinion is this? Says the Gemara of Tarfani. It represents the opinion of Tarfani. The Omer, Mishunah keren b'chotzer nizik, keren b'chotzer nizik, with nizik shalom mishalom. And we're going to learn this, is the Rav Tarfani's opinion in the Gemara later on the Chavdal on our base, and he says, if, and Rekafin comes with his opinion based on a Kav Choymer, if in a Rishus Rabbim, where there's no obligation by Shem V'Regel, the Torah says, Keren Tama pays Chatzin Nezek, so the Rishus HaNezek, where we're saying that there is Shem V'Regel, certainly they should pay Nezek Sholim. The Chachomim respond to Reb Tarfon and disagree with him. And they say, your line of reasoning is not correct, because there's a rule of daya lovim and adin liyus kanidin. If we're learning a kal v'chomer, we can never learn the chomer, even though maybe it's more serious than the kal, but it can't be treated more seriously than the kal. So we're saying that we're learning keren b'rishus ha'nizik from keren b'rishus ha'rabim. If b'rishus ha'rabim say the rabbanon, the Torah tells us the halacha is that keren pays chatzi nezik when it's a tam, so too shall be the halacha b'chotzer ha'nizik. Says the Gemara, if you're trying to explain that this braisa represents the opinion of Rav Tarfon, Amos Sefer, said the braisa at the end said, loy lezeh v'loy lezeh, if it's an area that doesn't belong to either of them, k'goy chotzer she'en ha'shnayim, chai ba'al she'en v'regel, we're obligated for she'en v'regel. So first the Gemara, my, what is the definition of loy lezeh v'loy lezeh? Ilay meloy lezeh v'loy lezeh klal, that neither the nizik nor the mazik may be there. Ella the acher, it belongs to a different third party. Vabina Bivastayachar. Doesn't the Torah say to be chayiv for Shein Varegel? You have to be going into the Nizik's property. And here it's not the Nizik's property. The Leko. El Pshito, says the Gemara, the way to understand that the Brice is speaking about a case. Loy Lazer Veloy Lazer. It doesn't belong neither to both the Mazik and Nizik. El Dechara, it belongs to the Nizik alone. Tani Sefer. And what does it say there in that case? So now we've established that the last case of the Brisa is a case of a property that belongs to the Nizik alone. And it says here explicitly, it says here explicitly at the end of the Brisa, the Tam Shalom Chatzi Nizik, or Mud Mishalom Nizik Shalom, which is the opinion of Asla Rabbanon, that say Mishuna Karen, that Karen is unique, the Bechotzer and Nizik, even if it takes place in the property of the Nizik, Chatzi Nizik Kudu Mishalim. So ask the Gemara, the way we're explaining this Braisa, the Reisha represents the opinion of Rav Tarfon, and the Sefer represents the opinion of Rabbanon, highly unusual. Answers the Gemara, that's the way we're going to have to explain. There's no other way to explain this Braisa, but saying that the Reisha represents Rav Tarfon's opinion, and the Sefer represents the Rabbanon's opinion. Damalei Shmuel or Rav Yehuda. Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda, Shinana. He used to call him Shinana either because he was a very sharp Talmud Chacham or because he had sharp teeth. Shvoik Mesnisen. Don't spend your energy to try to understand that this Brisa represents one Tana, which is the way we normally try to understand Brises. But rather, Rasur Basroi, follow what I'm telling you, that this Brisa must be understood that the Reish is Rav Tarfon and the Seif is Rabbanon. Ravina Mishmei de Rav Amar. Ravina, in the name of Rava, has a different way of reconciling what we learn at the beginning of the Brisa to what we learn at the end of the Brisa. Kula Rav Tarfon. The entire Brisa is Rav Tarfon. Amai. But if that's the case, how do we understand the last case of the Brisa that spoke about an area that's loy lezev and loy lezev? Loy lezev and loy lezev, says the Gemara, speaking about a case. Loy lezev and loy lezev le peiris. Both of them may not peiris el dechad. Only one of them could bring peiris there, lezev and lezev le shvarim. But both could bring shvarim there. Delgabish, as far as Shein concerned, have le chotza and nizik, because only the nizik could bring his animals there, and not the mazik. Lagaba Karen, but as far as Karen is concerned, Havilei, it's considered like a Rishus HaRabim, and since it's considered like a Rishus HaRabim, then Rishus HaRabim, even Rav Tarfon agrees that a Tam by Karen pays Chatzi Nezek. Ask the Gemara, but if that's the case, if that's the way we're understanding the Braisa, what did it say Arba? Why do we say that there are four rules? Shloisha Hava, there are three rules. The fourth case that we're learning that by Shein, when it's Rishus HaNezek Yechayiv, that we already learned earlier, that Shein Yechayiv B'chatz HaNezek. And that by Rishus HaRabim, Karen pays Chatzi Nezek, we also learned previously. So what's the Arba clause? What are the four rules? There are only really three rules. And it says the Gemara, Aram Nachman by Yitzchak, Shloisha clause. Indeed, there are three rules. Rishus HaNezek, Rishus HaMazik, and Rishus HaShutfim. Those are the three different carries. Those are the three different areas. But Ba'arba Mekaymus. But they could be explained by in different places. Because we have the fourth case, that as far as Karen is concerned, is a Rishus HaRabim. And as far as Shein V'Regel are concerned, it's considered Rishus HaNizik. So even though it's a repetition of the rules, but it is a unique type of place, and that's why it was mentioned separately. That's why it was mentioned separately. Says the Mishnah, Shum Kesef, the obligation to pay Nezek are according to the value of the damage. Shava Kesef, the obligation has to be paid with Shava Kesef. It has to be paid with something that has value. B'fnei Bezdin v'al pi Edim, as we're going to learn, it's Bezdin. You have to have Edom come to Bezdin to testify about what happened here. B'nei Chayrin, the property from which they could collect damages are from property that B'nei Chayrin, and the Edom, I'm sorry, have to be B'nei Chayrin, have to be free people, or B'nei Bris, Jews, Nosha B'chalal Nezek. And all halachas of Nezek, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, apply to men and women equally. Interesting, the Rishash asks a question. This halacha, that men and women should be treated equally when we speak about Nezakin, really should have been taught at the beginning in the Masechta. So why did the Mishnah wait to teach us this halacha till here? So the Rishash explains, because the Mishnah just said a moment ago that the Edom have to be B'nai Chayrim or B'nai Bris. And as we're going to learn, therefore women are excluded from being Edom. So since women are excluded from being Edom, I would think that also they're not subject to all the halacha of Nezikim. So that's why the Mishnah mentions them together, that even though they can't be Edom, they are part of the halachas of Nezikin. V'nizik v'mazik b'tashlumim, and the nizik and the mazik both have to pay bear part of it. Sometimes the nizik is the one that loses out. The Gemara will explain that as well. So the Gemara begins with the beginning in analyzing the Mishnah from the beginning of the Mishnah. Ma'i shum kesef, Amar Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, Shum zu, this obligation that when you pay the damage, Layel b'kesef, we have to evaluate it with money. Says the Gemara, what the Brice is teaching, what the Mishnah is teaching us, is Tanina Lahad Tan Rabbanan. The Brice is actually teaching us what we learned in a Brice. Parash Azika Talus. If a cow did damage to a talus, or talus Azika Para, or the talus did damage to a cow. That means the cow slipped on a talus that was in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, which it shouldn't have been there. Ein Oimrim, we don't say Teitzei Par B'talus. We don't say the Beis Din says take the cow that did the damage. We should give the cow of the mazik that did damage. We'll give to the nizik, and the talus that did damage we'll give to the other person. Rather, Talus Vapara, or Ella, what we do is, Shamanai Sabadamim, we assess the damage, and after we assess the damage, that's what we do. So, of course, many Achronim ask the question, why would we say that we just switch the Talus for the Para for the Talus? What does the Mishnah, what does the Gemara even want to mean to say with that? So, Ramosha, the Dibris Moshe, says a very interesting approach. Ramosha's approach is that we might have thought that this is all a punishment. And if we're learning that it's a punishment, so maybe that's the way the Torah says that this punishment should be administered, teaches us, no, the way, this is not a punishment. This is a financial obligation for damage done, and therefore we have to evaluate the financial loss. So therefore, there's a number of halachas that extrapolated based on this. One is a halacha that if the damage was not a significant financial damage, but even though the damage was not a significant financial damage, it was a damage that had sentimental value. What would be the halacha then? Do we say, well, maybe this object is not very valuable to the rest of the world, but to me it's valuable because it has, to me, sentimental value? Or do we look at the sentimental value? So everybody seems to agree, all the Paiskim agree, that we don't look at the sentimental value, we look at the financial value. And if this doesn't have that value, and that's the only thing that we should take into consideration when we make a determination of the damages. That's one point that I saw. Another point that I saw is sometimes if we're going to measure financial loss, the financial loss is quite insignificant. Because if we think about the financial loss, let's say the example I saw, it's just one example of many. Let's say the object that was damaged was somebody's contact lenses. Now, those contact lenses have very little value to anyone because nobody else is going to wear somebody else's contact lenses for many obvious reasons. First of all, they're at that person's, measured to that person's eyes, measured to that person's prescription. I don't have that prescription. I don't have that size eye. So they don't really, and they're also used by someone else. So people are not likely to have any value. But to the person who is wearing those contact lenses, who owned those contact lenses are expensive and valuable. So how do we make that determination of damages? So I saw the Rav Dov Lando Shlita says a very interesting approach. He says, if I own a pair of contact lenses, how much would I pay not to have them damaged? I'm not sure exactly how to make that determination. I assume what he means is that, let's say I have my pair of contact lenses and I don't want them to get ruined, and I could get another pair of contact lenses. How much would I pay to get a new pair versus holding on to my old pair? That's an interesting approach. Other Paiskim have a different approach. Their approach is that it's replacement cost. Yes, to the rest of the world, these contact lenses have very minimal or no value. But I need the contact lenses, and they work for me, and I don't need another pair. And therefore, the way to make the determination is what will it be worth it to me? What will be worth to me to get new not to have to get new contact lenses? And that's the way we're going to make this determination. But there's another interesting shaila that I saw that the Sefer Mishpatei Torah talks about damage. Speaks about a situation where somebody had his car parked. He had his car parked in a certain spot and in the parking lot. And somebody else, as he was backing out his car, caused damage to a door of the car. And then the owner of the car comes to take his car, doesn't even notice the damage that was done to his car, and drives it. And as he's driving it, somebody else goes into his car. And that person, as he goes into his car, completely ruins the door, that same door. So what would be the halacha? Let's say the damage that the first person did was damage of $1,000. And now the second person, by completely destroying that door, that damage is worth $4,000. Do we say that the first person will have to pay $1,000? Of course, if he didn't know about the damage and he only knew about the second damage, so then he'll only collect damage, the whole damage from the second person. He had no way of knowing of what happened before. He didn't have any idea that his door was already damaged. But let's say he was aware of the first damage. The person who had done the damage left a note and said, I did this damage and I'm ready to pay what I owe. And that damage was $1,000. And then this person destroyed the entire door, which is $4,000. So it says the Sefer Mishpatei Torah, based on our Mishnah says, whenever we have a situation of damage, the Mishnah is teaching us, is we evaluate that damage and we pay for that damage. So when the first person did damage of $1,000, he becomes obligated to pay $1,000. When the second person does damage, so he didn't do damage that's equal to $4,000, he actually did damage that's only equal to $3,000, because there was already an obligation of $1,000. There was already an obligation from the first person that got into an accident with from this person, and therefore, under these circumstances, the first person will pay $1,000. The second person will have to pay $3,000. Continues the Gemara, Shavu Kesef. What is meant when the Mishnah said Shavu Kesef? Says the Gemara, the Tana Rabbanan, Shavu Kesef, Melamed. From here we learn She'ein Bezdin Niskaken. When the Bezdin goes to collect damages from the Mazik, they only take Ein Bezdin Niskaken El Nechosim She'esh LeMechrayis from real estate that we've explained in previous Shurim. Nechosim She'esh LeMechrayis always means real estate. Avim Kodem Nizik V'Tafas Metatlin. If the Nizik seized Metatlin, Bezdin Goyven LeMehem, Bezdin collects it. So now the Gemara analyzes this price. Amamar, we just learned, Shavu Kesef, Melamed She'ein Bezdin Niskakim El Nechosim She'esh LeMechrayis. The Bezdin only collects real estate. It says the word my mashma. How do we understand that that's what the Mishnah meant? It says the Gemara, Amar Rav Bar Ula, Dova Shavu Kol Kesef. The only asset that has any value, that there's no predetermined value, is real estate. Mind you, Dovish Ein Lam Nano. We know, and we're going to learn, that the halacha is that there's a no, that there's a price, and if somebody overcharges by more than a sixth, then the deal is null and void. If it's exactly a sixth, you have to pay back that sixth, but the deal is fine. By real estate, there is no annul. There's machlokes rishonim. Why? Some rishonim explain that it's a gzeiros hakosef. That's the opinion of the Ri. It's a gzeiros hakosef that the din of annul that we just mentioned doesn't apply by real estate. Another opinion is that sometimes I want a specific piece of real estate because it's in a specific location. And therefore, even though to the rest of the world it only has a certain value, because I want this piece of real estate for whatever reason I want it, that makes it into there's no I know, because for me it's value that much value. The Ramban and the Elias Rabbeinu Yonah say that even though and the difference between these two pshatim actually will be the subject of a machlokes of the Ramban and at least the Rebbeinu Yonah. What would be an halacha if somebody truly overcharged for a piece of real estate? How do we look at this? Do we say that there was really a noah here, just the Torah exempted him with the, or do we say that no, by real estate there is no a noah? Similarly, there's a shaila in the Rishonim that even though the halacha is ain't a noah l'kakos, what happened if somebody charged double the value? So there's some Rishonim that suggests that if you charged double the value, then there is Aino. And again, it's connected to this question, how do we know that the Aino is by, there's no Aino by Karka? Says the Gemara, if that's the way, that's how we understand the Mishnah, so the Aloch is Avadim Shtaris, Nami Elhem Aino. That the Aloch is, if somebody paid for an Eved more than he's worth, then there's no I know. The same if somebody paid for a shtar more than its value on paper, there's no I know. Ela amar Rabbi Raula, what does Shavu Kesef mean? Dova hanikna bekesef. That something that's the kinyan is done with kesef and not with the other forms of kinyan, Mashiach Hagbah. But ask the Gemara, Avad Mishtaris, the loch are Nami nicknam bekesef. Ela Ravashi, Shavu Kesef, V'loi Kesef. The karka is not the same as kesef. Chani kula or matatlin, kesef ninu. They're similar to karka because they're similar to money that they can be taken. And therefore, even to any place. And therefore, even if they can't be collected in one area, that they could be collected in another area. This is the type of asset. Karka is the only asset that's obviously not movable. Lomer Rav Yehuda, Bechinel Rav Huna, Bereid Rav Shua. Tana, we just learned in the Braisa, Shava Kesef, Melamich ain't Bezdin the Skok and El and the Chasim Shesh Lamachrayis. The Bezdin only goes after real estate. But as the Gemara, we've learned many times in our Masechta that the Pasuk says, Bala Bar Yishalim Kesef Yoshev Lebalav. The rabbis to teach us the Shava Kesef Filas Subin, that you could even pay with Subin. What are we saying that you only pay with real estate? Answers the Gemara, Hakum Ayaskinin Beyasmi. That the loch is that Yisoymim, we only take karka from. Says the Gemara, if we're going to say that the Mishnah is talking about Yisoymim, Ema Seifa, Im Kidim, Nizik, Vatafas Metatlin, Bezdin Goyvelman, then Bezdin will allow the Nizik to take those Metatlin that he seized, Ibi Yasmi, but if we're saying that our Mishnah is speaking about Yisoymim, and my Bezdin Goyvelman, the how could Bezdin allow that to continue? The Yisoymim, as we often discuss in our shiurim, are not obligated to pay metatlin. Since they're not obligated to pay metatlin, if the nizik took those metatlin, he had no right to take those metatlin. If he had no right to take the metatlin, how could Bezdin allow for such a situation to continue? Answers the Gemara, it's talking about a situation, could Amarav Amarav Nachman, Shatafas Michayim, that the nizik seized these metatlin before the mazik died. Before he was just working with the metatlin, with the yisoymim, achishim metatz mechayim, b'fnei bezdin, that the gemara said b'fnei bezdin, prat l'mnoicha mechasim, in a situation with the mazik sold off his assets, v'achkachoyach lebezdin, and then he goes to bezdin. Once he sold off his assets, bezdin does not collect from the people who he sold his assets to. Shmaminah. From here we learn. Says the Gemara, Lovo Mochan Nechasov, and the Gemara, it's really a question. Does that mean if somebody borrowed money and he sold off his assets, and now the Malva brings the Loiva to Bezdin, Vakak Bala Bezdin, ain't Bezdin Gavin Laman? Bezdin, he's going to be able to say, well, now I don't have any assets. We know so many times we learn in our Masechta that you go after the Lekuchas. Ella, so that can't be what the Mishnah means to teach us. What does the Mishnah teacher mean to teach us? Prat lebezdin hajoitis. That the bezdin of hajoitis, which we'll discuss more in our coming shurim, they can't be the dayonim for this type of dentira. It has to be a bezdin of mumchim. It has to be a bezdin of experts. But as we're going to learn, there are exceptions to the rule where we need a bezdin mumchim and where a bezdin mumchim is not required.